Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's April 20th, 2018 program. East Lane County Commissioner, District 5 Candidates Forum. This is the 28th program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Today, we are fortunate to have four out of the six candidates who are running for the East Lane County seat on the Lane County Board of Commissioners, District 5. Candidates will give their arguments as to why they are the best choice to represent the district. Thank you for joining us today to hear from the candidates. Today's program is co-hosted with the League of Women Voters of Lane County, and the League is helping with timekeeping and also with vetting questions. Today's program is also being live streamed. I want to thank Thomas Price from PacInfo and Simplified Computing for live streaming today. That can be accessed on the City Club of Eugene Facebook page. We wanted to be sure to be on Facebook so the Russians could get into it too. So. If you enjoy City Club programs and are not already a member, please consider becoming a member at cityclubofeugene.org. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including AARP of Oregon, Summit Bank, Mova Soggy Plastic Surgery and Ziba Medical Spa, and a diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, exists to provide high-quality, affordable healthcare services and to improve the health of their members and the communities they serve. More information at www.kp.org. And one of our Sapphire sponsors, George Rohde Repair Shops, providing car care with a conscience, with three repair locations in Eugene, Euro Asian Automotive, Stadium Automotive, and Auto House, and online at eugenerepairs.com. And special thanks to KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 on Mondays. The coordinators of today's program are Juan Carlos Valle and Evan Reese. And now I'd like to introduce our moderator, Tiffany Eckert. Tiffany is an award-winning journalist who's been part of the KLCC news team since 2007, over 10 years. So Tiffany has graciously agreed to facilitate today's forum. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. I am Tiffany Eckert, a reporter with KLCC. I thank you for joining us at this City Club forum today. We are meeting four candidates running for a seat on the Lane County Board of Commissioners, representing District 5. Today's format will include two-minute opening statements from each speaker. We will take questions from the audience, and each speaker will have 1 minute to answer. We have timekeepers right over here, Sharon and Kelly, who will keep you on track. Members of the audience, you will find cards on your tables. Please do write clear and concise and legible questions. Raise your card in the air, and someone will come by and pick them up. Closing statements today will be 2 minutes each for each candidate. Now, please do join me in welcoming each of the candidates. Here we have, in alphabetical order, James Barber. Please approach the bench. Heather Buck, Tim Lowy, and Kevin Matthews. And in alphabetical order is the way we will answer questions unless there's one directed to an individual. Let us start with, don't sit down yet, let's start with opening statements, and if you will.
Hi, my name is James Barber. I want to help build a community-strong Lane County, and that starts with a Lane County government that's responsive to the people. I'm running for the East Lane County Commissioner position because I truly want to help people. I care about this community and the issues that affect us. Now, when I started to run for this seat about a year and a half ago, it's because I felt a sense of powerlessness among many folks. And I realized that we could get angry at our elected officials, We could rally, protest, and lobby them to do the right thing, or we could just become them. So I decided to run for office. Now, I am not a politician. I'm just a regular guy who decided to stand up and see if he can make a difference in this community. Side note, a friend of mine the other day said, James, I don't think you're just a regular guy. The things that you're doing are pretty irregular. And my response was, in my mind, I think we're all regular folks. You know, I don't see other people as lesser than, or I don't put myself above others. And perhaps it's in viewing ourselves as regular folks that we can best work together. So, I'm a father of three. I am fighting for their future, for all of our futures, to get us from where we are today to where we need to be on issues like affordable housing and healthcare, poverty and homelessness, economic opportunity and living wage jobs, increased public safety funding, an education system that prepares our children and our workforce for the emerging economy, to transition us to 100% clean, renewable energy. All of these things that are so important to a sustainable community and a sustainable environment. People are struggling out there, but I know that if we work together, we can help. So I'm asking for your vote as the next East Lane County Commissioner. Let's build a community-strong Lane County with an honest, transparent, and accountable Lane County government that's responsive to the people. Thank you.
Thank you, James Barber. Heather Buck.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for asking me to come out today. My name is Heather Buck, and I am also running for East Lane County Commissioner. I grew up out in Vinita to a single working mom, and that meant when my mother was out of work, my brother and I came home to an empty house because she was working hard to provide for us. And we experienced a divorce at a very young age. That required us to figure out where we were going to live, and we had to move. So I wanted to help my family find us another place to live. And I would come home and open up the newspaper and start calling all the different places for rent, trying to find us a place to live. And one time, a woman on the other end of the line paused, and she asked, "How old are you?" I was 8 years old. And that experience left an indelible mark on how I grew up and how I saw the world. Housing instability creates a huge impact on our young generations. And it also foretold what I do for a living now. I work as Special Projects Director for St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County, where I work on affordable housing projects with them, and am in charge of renovating extremely distressed properties like the Oak Ridge Mobile Home Park and the Saginaw Mobile Home Park. I also own a very small business here in town where I specialize in affordable housing. I bring a different perspective to the table that is critically needed on our county commissioner level. As a mother, as a housing expert, as a small business owner, and as a spouse of a military family, this is something that I think we need on our county commissioner level. Thank you.
Tim Lowy.
Thank you for having me. If you can't hear me, I'll adjust the mic. But all right, my name is Tim Lowy, and of the four of us up here, I'm the last one to get in this race. I didn't decide to run until after the first of the year, and I want to tell you a little bit why, and then a little bit of a story that exemplifies that concern. It was just around Christmas time last year that in one of the worst legislative processes I have ever seen, the Tax Reform Act of 2017 was passed. And that distressed me a great deal, because it was evidence to me that there was the ongoing process of trying to starve government to death was going to continue, particularly for the benefit of a very few, including individuals that don't even have chromosomes. I would say what I thought was going to happen, because the Lane County budget is about $500 million, and $400 million of that travels down from the federal and state level to the local level, that we were going to see more and more reductions of services at the local level. And we've already seen immense reductions of services over the last 10 years at the local level with the county budget, for those of you who have been watching. 2 days ago, it became apparent that that's already happening. The Army Corps of Engineers closed the contract with the Leeburg Fish Hatchery to provide fish for the McKenzie, refused to negotiate with, or has not negotiated an agreement with the Fish and Wildlife, and the McKenzie River guides, who have been distributing fish throughout that river for 60 years, the decision was made that they're just going to dump the fish from Silver Lake, Oregon on the east side at three landings, as opposed to distributing them. That's services that are going away on a very critical waterway. I'm respectfully asking for your vote on May 15th. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Matthews, and I'm running for East Lane County Commissioner. It's really great to be together here with so many friends in the University of Oregon Baker Center. I came to be a Lane County native because I'm the son of two ducks. My dad was here on the GI Bill after being in the Navy in World War II. And I was born a few blocks over that way from here at the old Sacred Heart Hospital. Since then, I've done a lot of stuff. I've worked as a ranch hand, a blacksmith, an educator, and an entrepreneur. Ran my own small business in Lane County from startup for over 20 years. And I mothballed that 5 years ago to run for Lane County Commissioner, because I think we need a paradigm shift in how Lane County operates. Hopefully we'll be able to bring that out through the questions and answers today, because that paradigm shift is needed in almost every dimension that the county touches. Lane County has been stuck for many years, and we need to get it unstuck. We need a change agent on the county board to help Lane County move forward. Now, Lane County, since the 2011 gerrymander, has been a 20% urban, 80% rural district. So in addition to a change agent to represent East Lane County, larger than the state of Rhode Island in square miles, you might want to look for somebody who has a track record of service in the city of Eugene, 12 years as a neighborhood leader in Eugene, but who also lives an authentic rural lifestyle. Patty and I run Swan Farm in Dexter, where we're the leading breeders in Oregon of one of the oldest, rarest lines of athletic horses. So I'm really grateful to be able to talk with you today, and this should be fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. We have a lot of very illuminating and interesting questions from the audience today, and I'd ask each candidate, when you do rise to answer, to just quickly say your name for the listening audience, all right? Let's begin with this question. Would you approve of a minimum wage of $15 an hour for county employees?
This is James Barber. Absolutely. In fact, 15 may not be high enough these days. It's important that all of the jobs that we have are living wage jobs. People need to be able to afford to live where they work. We have a really big problem with that. And one of the biggest problems, besides the affordable housing situation that we're in, is people don't make enough money. Wages have been stagnant for too long. I absolutely support being able to provide living wage jobs for our employees.
Heather Buck. And I absolutely support a living wage job for our community. It's been a long time coming, where we really need to support those working families. And I would definitely be interested in moving forward on higher wages for our working families.
So my name is Tim Lowey, and the question was, would I support a $15 an hour minimum wage for county employees? And the answer to that is yes. And to go a little beyond that, I'd support a $15 minimum wage for everybody in the society.
Kevin Matthews, yes, I support a $15 minimum wage for county employees. I support a $15 minimum wage across Lane County, which of course would need to be phased in a little bit, but setting aside the phasing in my campaign, we're trying to walk our talk, and $15 is the minimum wage of anybody working on our campaign, whether they're a door-to-door canvasser or a phone banker. Of course, that doesn't go for volunteers, sorry, folks. And of course, that's not the cheapest way to run a campaign, and if you want to back me up and help, you can help walk my talk by going to www.friendsofkevinmatthews.org and contributing to the campaign, because it really is a community effort. Thank you.
Looks unanimous from these candidates on the $15 minimum wage question. Here's another. One of the items on the docket for the next Board of Commissioners is redistricting. What criteria should guide the drawing of new Lane County Commissioner districts in 2021?
Great question. Gerrymandering is an issue all across this country. How we redistrict should not be decided by political parties. It needs to be done in a nonpartisan manner. Exactly how we go about that, there's algorithms that they're coming up with that are nonpartisan in nature. I think that's probably the best way to go. It's really difficult to have people figuring this out because people have implicit biases. So we've got to figure out a way to take that out. I don't have the expertise to tell you exactly how that's going to happen, but we do want to have the most neutral way possible.
Heather Buck. I would like to see redistricting become a little bit more regional. East Lane County has got some really strange districts that it includes, and they're not continuous. And that makes it really difficult to reach all the different audiences that we need to reach. So in the next redistricting, in addition to simply thinking about how many people are in each district, also thinking about how we can keep them in a contiguous format.
Hi, this is Tim Lowy again. Redistricting has been a political decision for Oregon as long as districts have been drawn. That's not the only way to do it. Our neighbors to the south in California draw their legislative districts and other districts using an independent board that is bipartisan and appointed either by the legislature or the governor, I'm not sure. It takes a lot of the politics out of the process. That's what needs to happen. It has gotten so bad in some places that some redistricting that's occurred in some states has been overturned because it has discriminated against certain types of voters in certain types of places. So it shouldn't be a political process that's done by whoever is in power every 10 years after the census has been taken. Thank you.
Kevin here. It might be my daily progress of shoveling manure, but I like to call a spade a shovel. In 2011, we got the current crazy East Lane County district where the Churchill neighborhood of West Eugene is part of East Lane County. East Lane County went from being a clear, simple rural district, huge, but simple and rural, to being this compound 80-20 district I talked about before. The process that was used was a citizens committee that met and went through a lot of research. I gave some input to that process myself back then. The citizens committee at the end of that said, the districts that we have as of 2010 are still valid in the 2010 census. People are used to them. They have nice cleared boundaries. And the Republican majority on the board, which is still essentially there, said, sorry, so sad, too bad, consensus citizen committee. We're going to use our Republican campaign consultant to redo these for our advantage. That's what needs to be changed.
All right, next question. Do you support or oppose aerial herbicide spraying by timber companies?
James Barber, I'll be the first one answering each time, so if I forget to say my name, It's James. I do support the aerial spray ban as it is currently. It's been hurting people. Aerial spraying has been hurting people. And one of the goals of my campaign is to represent people. If people are being hurt, we need to figure out a way to stop hurting them. And that could mean changing our business practices, you know? Necessity is the mother of invention. They may not have another method in mind right now, but they're not forced to come up with it. We heard at a forum the other day that there isn't anybody looking at alternatives to these right now, except for backpack spraying, which is really labor intensive, and it exposes workers more so to the spray than the aerial spraying. So we encounter different problems if we go to that. So
this issue really hits home for me, Heather here. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and when she went out to play one day on our slide in our backyard, she said, "Mom, I'm stuck." She's stuck at the top of the slide and can't get down. And so when I went out, sure enough, there's a nice, evenly sticky substance all over her little play area. And so I had to take her down, completely redress her, wash off the whole slide. And we live just down the street from a clear cut. I don't know what it was, but it was very suspicious. And like many people in my district, I live in unincorporated Lane County and rely on a well. So as our Board of Public Health, I think the commissioner's duty is to ensure the safety of the people in our area. And as an advocate that has a lobbyist, I think that that's something that we need to work together on.
Again, my name is Tim Lowy, and as I understand the question, it was, do I support aerial spraying in timberlands or oppose it? I oppose it. There are alternatives. There are at least two alternatives that have been used before. Backpack spraying is one. It's much more precise, and there is safety equipment for those who are doing the application. They are also required to be licensed by the state of Oregon. There is also what's known as manual release, which is people going through and basically pruning or cutting back the herbicide, the broadleaf that are interfering with the sunlight that goes to the trees. Both of those employ people. Both of those pay reasonably and can pay reasonably. Helicopters are very, very expensive, and herbicides broadcast over a whole watershed, or at least 40 or 50 acres of it, has the potential of overspray and affecting those that are around them. I would have to say that this is a personal issue for me because I have a family who was devastated by aerial spraying of herbicide some 30 years ago. Thank you. A family friend that was devastated.
This is Kevin. I'm against aerial herbicide spraying because I think it fails the good neighbor test. You know, Lane County is one of the world's greatest places for growing structural timber. In most statistical periods, Lane County is the biggest sawlog producing county in the biggest sawlog producing state in the country. But jobs have left our rural areas through mechanization, automation, and centralization of the mills. The big mills are now in the cities, inside the urban growth boundaries, because that's what makes business sense. We need to help, maybe with tough love, the timber industry stop chemical trespass, stop hurting organic farms, stop hurting recreation, move away from an entire system of clear-cutting, monoculture, pesticide spraying, to being good neighbors. To have a 21st century timber industry that addresses carbon sequestration that we can all be proud of.
Thank you. Another question with a bent toward the environment. Will you support a no fossil fuel environment in our county by 2025?
This is James Barber. I think that would be wonderful. We have a climate crisis. Climate change is real. We have to reduce our carbon footprint. We need to stop using fossil fuels. You know, if you go to my website, you will see that I support 100% transition to clean, renewable energy. We need that if we want to hit our goals for carbon reduction. And we need to hit those goals for carbon reduction, or we're going to have major impacts. Beyond just what we see happening in other places, we've got a drying climate here. Our forest fires are going to get worse as it gets hotter. We tend to live in an area that seems fairly moderate as far as climate goes. So there's going to also be climate migration. So if we have a housing crisis right now, when people start to flee the areas that climate change is impacting the most, we're going to be the impact of that.
Heather here. I absolutely support a transition to clean energy in our community. We must work towards that. 2025 is a lofty goal. I think that's a wonderful goal to reach. I'm not sure we'll get there that quickly, but I would absolutely be interested in moving our county forward.
Hi, this is Tim again. Yes, I support no fossil fuel by 2025. Do I think it's feasible? I hope so. But I also support pretty much everything we can do to address the issue of climate change, because it's affecting us every year more and more, and the people not only in this country, but in the people of the world. And to the extent that we say, yeah, but what about, and try and ignore it, we're not being responsible to our families, to our children, and to the earth we live on. Thank you.
Kevin. I care so deeply about climate change. I've been working on it professionally for many years. I have several national publications that I've authored on climate change. Drop me a note at www.friendsofkevinmatthews.org and I'll be happy to give you my climate change bibliography. 2025 would be great, but it is absolutely not feasible. That would crash our economy. Think of how many people are driving. We're not going to get the electric trucks, let alone cars, in time to do that. 2050 is a good time to plan for. However, we should have a timeline which looks like new commissioners starting in January of 2019. We should have a county climate mitigation plan in place by 2025, and we should have measurable implementation progress by 2025 that puts us on a glide path. Lane County collectively spends $1 billion a year on fossil fuels. If we get on that glide path, we can save $50 million a year cutting fossil fuels, $50 million more every year for as far as we can see ahead. It's an incredible opportunity for Lane County.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
What should the Board of Commissioners do to improve response times by the Sheriff's Office in rural areas and unincorporated areas in Lane County?
This is James Barber. We need to hire more deputies. That's how we're going to reduce the response times. It's the only way it's going to happen. We currently have 3 or 4 deputies on any given shift to cover all of rural Lane County, all of the unincorporated areas of Lane County, from Florence to McKenzie Bridge, from Coburg down to London Springs. That is a really tall ask with the amount of sheriffs that we have, with the amount of deputies that we have currently. So bottom line, we need more. Right now, people have to wait a couple of hours if they call in, if what they're calling in about is even worthy of a response. So we just need to figure out how we can get more funding, get some more sheriff's deputies.
So Heather here. I had mentioned earlier that I live in unincorporated Lane County, so I rely solely on the sheriff's department should something happen in my area. And that would really have to be most likely a life or death situation in order to get a response. it's important that we support our sheriff's department when they do come to the community and make an ask for some funding, and be able to pair that with education to those in the urban center, because our rural areas rely on the urban center to vote for those initiatives as well. And it really needs to be important to the entire community. It's also a way which commissioners come out to the community and educate them about what we do and we do not have in services in our county, where a lot of people in the urban core go out to recreate, and they need protection as well. So I would be very interested in advancing that type of collaboration.
Hi, this is Tim Lowey. I too live in unincorporated Lane County, 40 miles up the McKenzie River. Highway 126, Highway 58, and Highway 99 are deadly highways. Lane County has the dubious distinction of having the highest fatality rate on state highways in the state. 15 years ago, there were traffic patrols run by the sheriff's office on those highways. 15 years ago, the Central Lane Justice Court was open to process those patrols. That needs to come back. And the revenue needs to be dedicated to the safety in rural Lane County. The other element of that I would say is there are fire protection districts all through unincorporated Lane County. If the legislature would see fit, they could decide to tax themselves on intergovernmental agreements to contract with either the sheriff's office or the Oregon State Police to have further more patrols in those areas or resident deputies. Those are a couple of ways this could move forward. Thank you.
This is Kevin. Yes, public safety, rural patrols in East Lane County is a ticking time bomb. And yes, let's organize ourselves to repair that situation from previous right-wing budget cuts in time to prevent a rural violent disaster rather than in the aftermath of such a disaster. Right now, Lane County has a stable budget. And with a stable budget as a backdrop, we've just got an allocation of $9.5 million and $9 million of Secure Rural Schools funding. I propose that we take about a third of that money to meet the sheriff's estimated budget to get rural patrols back to a reasonable level, and we do that immediately so that we have those patrols in place while we work to get long-term funding for that. Possibly from reforming the timber taxation system, but that's another topic.
Thank you. Lane County seeks state funding for a portion of a proposed new county courthouse. What portion of that project should Lane County residents bear? And a follow-up with, what's your plan B if the proposed land swap between Lane County and the city of Eugene falls through?
This is James Barber. That is a complicated question that I am not prepared to answer. I've been so busy out knocking doors and talking with folks in our rural areas, it has never come up yet. So I imagine if I am fortunate enough to win this seat, it will be one of the first things that I brush up on.
Heather here. When it comes to the county courthouse, I'm told to be a little bit closer here, and I'm a little shorter, so. When it comes to the county courthouse, I would like to see state funding come down to help us for that. When you're going to be asking the county residents for funding for a new courthouse, that's going to be a heavy ask. There's going to be people already stretched very thin for funding. I would love to talk more to those that are intimately involved with that particular issue. I have not had a chance to do that, but I would like to see more state funding. And should it not work out, should that funding not come through, then we need to really figure out what we're going to do with that land, practically speaking. And can we work out of the services that we have? We're spread all over the city, basically, and we really need to look at the financials in a way. Does it make sense to invest in something smaller so that we can save some money where we're currently housing all of our staff.
Thank you.
Tiffany, this is Tim Lowy. Tiffany, I'd really like to answer that question, but it seems to be something of a black box because the county and the city are negotiating in secret around this issue. They're using an exemption to the public meetings law for property transfers or property negotiations to meet in executive session. We are talking about $100 million here. That exception to public meetings law was meant for negotiating with private parties. It wasn't meant for public parties negotiating with each other. Those are community assets. This should be a public process. Otherwise, we're going to get a bill at the end that nobody's going to support.
Kevin here. Thank you, Tim. That was really well said, and I really appreciate it. In addition, personally, I'm still so damn mad about tearing down our city hall instead of doing a deep green renovation on it and tearing up $30 million plus a taxpayer value that it's pretty hard for me to get excited about trying to peek over the fence into the black box of the old crony land manipulations here in downtown. However, when it comes before the County Board of Commissioners, I will use my planning degree from UC Santa Cruz and my Master of Architecture degree from Berkeley and 20 years of independent international business operations to analyze it, get something as beautiful as possible for our communities that is as cost effective and green as possible for our future.
Thank you all. Please each describe your style of deliberation and problem solving in a time when you've helped build consensus on a challenging process with both allies and adversaries.
I'm afraid we can't do all of that in 1 minute that we have to respond, but for the most part, I listen. And when I say, to me, listening, it means you're willing to be changed by what you hear. So when you're speaking with somebody and they have something to say and you're listening, I think they can feel that. And it allows us to work together, to come to an agreement. It's really important to me to reach out and understand different perspectives, different experiences, try and understand where they're coming from. That is how we end up coming to a consensus. And I tend to do that all the time. And for that reason, I tend to get along with everybody. I have a really good track record of working with people from a variety of viewpoints. When I get out and I knock doors in this area, I knock every door. I don't just try to target people who I may think agree with me. I love to get into the challenge of talking with people who we may not have an agreement and figure out how to come to an agreement.
Heather here. So in some of my projects that I work with in St. Vincent de Paul, we come across some real challenges in working on those housing issues. So the way that I go about it is really to collaborate with the groups that are surrounding our projects. And that can mean everybody from who's living next door, over the fence. It also means working with the sheriff's department, the police department, the state agencies. I've had the opportunity to work in the Oak Ridge area, and we renovated the Oak Ridge Mobile Home Park, where we had extreme assaults, we had lots of drugs, and we had people that were holed up in their homes. And we have to all work together as a community in order to really address all the needs that poses, and it ripples throughout our community. So bringing together everybody in a collaborative fashion is really the way that I would tackle issues.
Thank you.
Tiffany, can I ask you to read the question again?
Please describe your style of deliberation and problem solving in a time when you've helped build consensus in a challenging process with both allies and adversaries.
All right, this is Tim Lowy again. I'm looking at a woman right in front of me who I first met 30 years ago when I was chair of the Crest Drive Citizens Association. And we worked issues out there related to traffic and others. From there, I went to the Eugene City Council and we developed a system for fire redeployment to build new fire facilities throughout the community. These were all collaborative processes. Fundamental to this is my belief that the best form of power we have is power with others. It's not power over others, it's power with others. Not only that, I chaired the police commission when the Civilian Review Board and the police auditor charter amendment was passed. I also helped bring about the library when I was on the city council, and I worked with the public safety coordinating council to find a way forward under serious budget cuts for human services, youth services, police services, and prosecution services. It's all about working together. Solve the problems. Don't worry about the people. Solve the problems.
Kevin. Different problems require different approaches, and when the situation calls for fighting to hold the line, I'm your champion. I will fight to hold the line. In the process of working with an amazing team of folks in South Eugene for 15 years to save and ultimately protect 75 acres in the heart of the Amazon Creek headwaters, we had to fight off development applications again and again and again. We organized, we worked hard, we got the facts out to the people, and we won over and over again until finally a willing seller purchase could happen. However, in order to really make a leap forward as a community, we actually need to build common vision. And what I much prefer to do than fighting and holding the line is to build common vision. A number of people in this room were part of the West Eugene Collaborative, where we built a common vision in the wake of one of the biggest controversies in our community for a generation.
Thank you. The federal spending bill includes funding for the Secure Rural Schools program for 2 years, which would provide assistance to Lane County and other rural counties affected by the decline in revenue from timber harvests on federal lands. What should be Lane County's priorities for this funding?
James Barber, I think I'd like to see the Secure Rural Schools funding go to our schools. We need a lot more funding in our schools. We need to expand our career and technical education, our STEAM courses, engineering, arts, and math, we need all of those things. If we want to prepare not just our children, but also our workforce for the emerging economy, we're going to need the funding to do that. Our funding should go to there. There might be an opportunity to use that for our public safety funding gaps as well, but once I get in, we'll be able to figure out where exactly it's going to work out best for all of the people of Lane County.
Heather, I do believe that we need to invest in our public safety. The most common issue I hear when I'm out in the rural areas is that nobody's out here serving our community. What if something happened? Something did happen and nobody came. And we just need more safety out in those areas. In addition to that, I agree that we really do need some investment in our public education. Our schools in our area, especially in our rural areas, are just falling apart. They need some help with infrastructure and rebuilding those schools for their kids. They're in conditions that are unbelievable. They don't have air conditioning, and it gets really hot or it's really cold, and they can't get warm enough in school. And how can they pay attention to their schoolwork when that's happening? So I'd really like to see some investments in both public safety and education as well.
Hi, this is Tim Lowy. First of all, Lane County needs to get off the roller coaster of trying to rely on Secure Rural Schools funding to solve its problems. It needs to take a pretty close look at reforming taxation, particularly for resource properties, whether it be timber, agriculture, rock quarries, or otherwise, because they've gotten preferential treatment. But as far as any windfalls, once adequate reserves are met, it should go to the public health, the public security, and the public safety of its citizens. That's where the priorities have to be, and those cannot be separated. For example, we've known for decades that most of the property crime that occurs in rural communities and cities itself are driven by people feeding habits. That's a public health issue. Addiction, mental health, and substance abuse is a public health issue. It's also a public safety issue. We also have a lot of people that are insecure, elders, children, and others in rural Lane County. Thank you.
Kevin. I said in an earlier answer that I thought about a third of that two-year allocation of about $9 million each year should go to rural public safety directly. So that leaves $6 million. What I would say today is, since the county is operating on a stable budget, let's not be in a rush to allocate that $6 million. Let's get some more progressive eyes into the black box that is the Lane County budget. Have you tried to look at that thing? 32 funds? It's got three different total amounts. In different places with different definitions, the county says the budget is $300 million, $457 million, or $600 million. Well, it's clear that the $600 million literally double counts around $150 million. So we got to know more about that budget. We got to have a little bit of money available for opportunities to move Lane County forward.
Thank you. We're getting some feedback from the audience that there's a little bit of too orderly action in terms of the answers. So for this final question, I'm going to mix it up. I'll just call you, and you can come to the mic. It's inevitable that there will be. Or it said it is inevitable that there will be a giant earthquake that occurs in Lane County, yet most county residents are unprepared. What role should the county play in inspiring and probably assisting with preparedness? I'd like to start with Heather Buck.
Heather. I really do think the county has a big job in doing some work in county preparedness. When I'm out in the south end of my district, they've talked about this quite a bit. And my in-laws are from Florence, and they were always prepared. They are very active as a community in ways in which they can make sure everybody in their community can get to a safe spot. We need to do something similar here. We do have some efforts in place, but it's nowhere near the same level as, say, Florence is. So bringing together each individual community would be very important, because they're the ones that are going to be able to reach those folks the fastest. And we don't know how long it will take to get out to everybody in our district should something happen. So making sure that they're prepared individually at their homes, making sure they know where the resources are in advance, and coordinating those efforts between various districts in my East Lane area.
Thank you. And if you'd step up, Kevin Matthews.
Thank you. This minute thing is really starting to get to me. Imagine how I felt during the Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area, and I was still living, having graduated from Cal. I was working in Texas. The earthquake happened, went on the national news. Cell phones, whatever kind of phones we had then, weren't getting through. And the national news had pictures of a burning building with burning to the ground, literally a block from my 1890s Victorian. That was a pretty safe way to get a wake-up call, but I didn't need it because I studied earthquake engineering and community response at the university that has one of the premier schools for that in the world. I care about this so much. There's so many cool things we could do locally, and Lane County really is underprepared. It's possibly a great way to build community coherence around being ready for what's going to happen to us.
Thank you, Kevin. Please step up, James Barber.
James Barber. It's not just Lane County that's underprepared. Everybody's underprepared for this. We've been avoiding building our buildings in the right way, not everybody, Thomas is ready for it. No, there actually is a lot of efforts to get people up to speed on this. And there's certified emergency response teams. They're going out into a lot of the communities right now. So if you have not been a part of that, I would urge you to reach out, look for those opportunities. They're currently trying to create neighborhood teams that are ready to respond to this. What Lane County can do, our urban areas have a lot of resources to help take care of those folks. Those are gonna be the best prepared in a major emergency. What Lane County can do is help to make sure that our rural communities are prepared, because those are the communities that may have to go 30 or 40 or 60 days before they can get some actual help. So,
thank you. And Tim Lowey.
Tim, I'm glad you asked this question. What we can do as a county is help communities become resilient. We can do that not only for catastrophic earthquakes, but for fires, for climate change, for all of the challenges that confront us both environmentally and socially. Communities, neighborhoods, people in small areas can become resilient and work together to prepare themselves for what may come down, whether that's emergency preparedness for a catastrophe or it's preparedness in terms of safety for each other in case a neighbor isn't showing up. That will be my focus, is neighbor to neighbor, community to community, helping us become resilient, because we're going to need more resilience.
Thank you very much. Now it is time for closing statements. We're going to do them in reverse order. So Kevin, you have 2 minutes.
Thanks so much for listening to this question and answer today. It's an honor to be here talking with you. Many of you remember that 4 years ago, I ran against three-term Republican incumbent Faye Stewart after being recruited by some folks in Cottage Grove to have somebody who could make a stand against a really entrenched candidate. And when all the dust and the automatic recount settled and everything, we were 9 votes out of 15,000 ballots in the district from going to a one-on-one runoff with that incumbent. That's why I'm running again. Our voter contact responses are running 50% stronger than they were 4 years ago. We've contacted more voters, we've had more voter conversations, and it's looking really good. The things that voters respond to are my elevator speech, which is knocking on the door. Howdy, this is Kevin Matthews, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm running to protect our clean water and remaining wildlife habitat, and work together to build prosperity in our rural communities from the ground upward instead of from the top downward with tax breaks for big outside companies. I've been endorsed by the Cottage Grove Blackberry Pie Society, the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, the Lane Community College Education Association, SEIU Locals 49 and 503, the Democratic Party of Lane County, Our Revolution Lane County, six-term U.S. Congressman Jim Weaver, five-term Lane County Commissioner Jerry Rust. We have an opportunity, possibly even, to win this race for moving Lane County forward in the primary if we pull together. Take a look at the centerpiece of this week's Eugene Weekly. There's a 4-page tabloid that'll tell you a lot more about me and my positions. It's got my direct phone number, and I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Tim Lowey.
Hi, this is Tim. So what I would say is I got in this race because from a quote of Dr. Martin Luther King that says our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And I didn't want my life to begin to end, and I didn't want to wake up and look in the mirror and say you had an opportunity to try and help people and you didn't take it. So I filed. The other thing I would say is I mentioned earlier that 30 years ago I read a book by a woman named Starhawk that talked about three forms of power. Power from within yourself, power with others, and power over others. And for my money, the only form of power that helps build community is power with others, and that's my emphasis. Finally, I would say this. I also read a book 30 years ago from the wisdom traditions that talked about the fact that we cannot speak the truth, in quotes. We can speak from the truth, but we can't speak the truth. We do know, however, we do know sometimes when we're speaking the truth because we feel the muse or whatever it may be. We always know when we're lying. We always know when we're deceiving, when we're being disingenuous. You can't do that without intent. My pledge to you is if I find myself in a position to where I feel myself sliding down that road to being disingenuous, to dissembling, to lying, I will stop and reset. And I believe we would have a much better society if everyone in public trust would take that same pledge. With that, I respectfully ask for your vote May 15th in the primary election. Thank you.
Closing statement from Heather Buck.
Heather here. Thank you so very much for coming out here today and listening to us. I think it's important that we have representation on all levels at our county elected, each of our county elected offices. Right now, I present a unique perspective we don't currently have on our board. As a mom, as a small business owner, as a housing specialist, when we're facing the second largest housing crisis in our nation, just behind Seattle, it's imperative that we have those technical skills at the table. And that really has been supportive when I've been knocking at the doors. I've been backed by 18 elected officials from all over the area, including Congressman DeFazio, Representative Julie Fahey, Senator Lee Beyer, and many more. I'm also backed by two labor councils that represent 25 individual unions, and that represents thousands of people within our community. I am proud to have their endorsement. To me, that states we're ready to have some different ideas at the table, and I ask for your support and your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. And James Barber.
I hope by now that you've seen that I have a passion to represent you. I am here for the people. I am not a politician. And in that regard, I'm not going to use this 2 minutes to speak about myself. I want to talk about something that has gone unsaid so far in this race. It hasn't gotten much coverage. The whole race hasn't gotten much coverage from media. And the four folks that you saw today have been working their tails off in this race to get the people engaged, to get them excited about this. We are the only four people who have shown up to every single forum that's been offered to us. One of the other candidates hasn't gone to any of them. He's not really running a serious campaign, it seems. And the other one seems to only want to go to some safe forums. He hasn't gone to hardly any of them. So when you get your ballot next week, I am hopeful that you will decide to pick one of these four folks, because we have really put it all out there to try to earn your vote. And every single one of us would be willing to take a phone call from you anytime, or an email, or any other way that you can figure out how to get a hold of us. Send up a flare or something. Really, we really care. And that's why we're out here doing this. I hope you give us your vote. I do really want your vote. I would love to represent you on this commission. I want to help build a community strong Lane County, and we need your help to do that. Thank you all.
Thank you. Let's give a hand to all four candidates. Want to say I appreciate the civility shown here today amongst each of you. So that concludes this part of the forum. Sandra?
Thank you. This is Sandra Bishop, City Club of Eugene President. We're here today with the East Lane County Commissioner District 5 Candidate Forum with four out of the six candidates here. In addition to our live audience here at U of O Baker Center at 10th and High in downtown Eugene, today's program is also being live streamed on the City Club of Eugene's Facebook page. City Club is a nonprofit Organization, support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including AARP of Oregon, Summit Bank, Movasagi Plastic Surgery and Ziba Medical Spas. A diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, exists to provide high-quality, affordable healthcare services and to improve the health of their members and the communities they serve. More information at www.kp.org. And a Sapphire sponsor, George Rohde Repair Shops. And special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon Academic Extension, Dot Dotson's Photography, and KRVM 91.9 Radio. And before we thank our speakers again, I'd like to thank KLCC Radio Station 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6:30. And a thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. Please join us next Friday, April 27th. Please join us when we hear from an expert on elections. Oregon's electorate, who will vote and why it matters. We have the president of Merrillhurst University, Dr. Melody Rose, coming to talk about that. More details and information about future programs can be found online at City Club's website, cityclubofeugene.org. And I'd like to again thank the League of Women Voters for co-hosting today. And a special thank you to Tiffany Eckert, our moderator. Thank you.